Okay.
It always makes you fight.
He made my punch list.
And that was our first fight. Time is a flat circle.
Like, two people are gonna get this.
Ooh. Love, Kale.
Ew. I want him to crawl to me.
Now that was spicy.
Your Honor, I love him.
Gross! Why choose means you don't choose.
I want a third act breakup because I want him to grovel.
There are exceptions to every rule.
Trust me, I'm a father. Don't worry, Daddy's got you. Welcome to chapter 25 of the Smut Daddy Podcast.
Hi, guys.
Hello, everybody. I am your host, Other Lib, aka the Smut Daddy.
And I am your co-host, Sister Britt. And we are just two besties that found each other on Bookstagram and can't imagine life without the other now.
And today we are joined with none other than the incredible author, Jessa Wilder. Hello,
hey, Jessa.
Hello. And we're honored because we just found out this is only her second podcast ever.
Yeah.
I mean, like, we're winning. We did it, Britt.
I'm so happy because she's one of my favorite authors.
I know. We talk about you. Well, you probably get all of our tags. We talk about your books a lot. And so I hope you don't mind that every week it's always something of yours in our book recaps.
I know. I'm like,
always appreciate it.
Sorry.
No, I always love the tags. Also, your posts are more creative than any of my posts ever.
That's because you put all your creative juices into your fantastic books, and that's more than enough.
You're worried about coming up with all those words.
Literally. I don't know how authors can do it all, genuinely. You guys all blow my mind because I couldn't handle all the pressure, I feel like.
It's definitely talent I don't have, and to have multiple stories and series and things percolating at the same time, I'm just like, I don't get it. But you guys have hidden talents.
I don't get it either. So
juggle many hats and you're like, I don't know. You're like, it's just craziness, psychosis, all of the above. And that's okay. We are here for it. How are you? How has life been going? Are you reading anything right now or what's been going on?
I am good. I am, what, 7 days out from a release? Mm-hmm. So this is about when I start to like have anxiety like nonstop all day.
Yeah.
I describe like, you know, like fight or flight. It's like being in flight mode, but you can't actually hide or run away because it's like not a thing.
Yes.
So I'm just like, I want to hide underneath my covers, but there's nothing I can do. So yeah, so I'll be there for probably until like 2 days after release is when I'll be able to start calming down. But this is my 14th release, so you'd think that I would be used to this, but no. No.
That's incredible.
That's amazing for one.
And honestly,
I would be the same exact way. So I feel can't like, give any thoughts on that.
I feel like we've had all kinds of authors on from debut to people that are on their like 60th release. And they all say the same thing. No matter how many, they're just like, I'm not anxious. I'm like, you guys are killing the game though. But I understand as probably one of the most anxious people ever. So don't think that it's bad.
Yeah, no, I don't. Every time I do it, I'm like, why do I do this to myself?
Why do I keep writing these books? This happens every time.
Yeah, like every single time. Like, I'm always stressed out and like, stop eating. Why am I doing this? Or I'll only eat bread for like a week.
Oh, carb load is great though for the comfort.
Carbohydrates. Yeah. I don't know how people live without them.
I know. Do you have anything you like to do? Like, do you have any like pre-release rituals or like things that you try to do to like calm the anxiety, or do you just let it ride?
I just let it ride.
Yeah. Hell yeah, girl.
I end up messaging people more, but you may notice that.
Wednesday or Thursday, whatever day that was. Brainstorm with me for a minute. Okay. All right. Sure. I love it.
Like, I can feel my brain like doing whatever it can to distract me. It's like, I'm trying to sedate you, girl. Like, we'll think of something else.
Your new special edition delivery this week should have taken a little bit of brainwave power length away. And I'm sad that mine is not here yet, but it's for the Rule Breaker series, Lib. Got three new special editions in a nice little box coming my way, and they are so pretty. I saw the stories that you shared today, Jess, of the One Girls. They're beautiful.
Are
you happy with how they turned out?
So to prop up Bakery, they are like amazing to work with. Like, They're like absolutely amazing. So if there's any authors on here watching when you guys post this, like, they're super great. And then all of their artists were fantastic and easy to work with. And now, like, the product's stunning. So
ugh, that's all so the details. Exciting.
It kind of it helped that an employee that works at Fake Rate had read the series and loved it, right? Is that how that went? Yeah.
I'm not, like, nearly big enough as an author to get picked up by, like, Fake Rate, but then I just got lucky that, like, a fan worked there, and I was like, sweet.
That is so exciting. That honestly makes it even better, because you know that they believed in your work enough that you're like, it does not matter. Like, well, you are big in my eyes, so I don't know what you're talking about. But they were like, no, we're doing this. Because I feel like sometimes there are qualifications that they probably want people to hit, but that's awesome.
Well, normally they're like, here's a list of questions, and then they, like, so obviously you answer those questions, but they normally haven't read the book. Right? Like, a lot of the things that I work with, they haven't read the books.
Yeah.
And so, whereas this guy was like, hey, I like this pose and these photos and this, because he liked the book. So I didn't have to follow that paper, which is probably why it was like such a
And those small details matter.
Yeah, like they tiny do. Little detail. Like, yeah. When you get your cover, like even the like the case part, like the hard cover part has like specific items from each one. And normally they'll be like, hey, can you give me this information?
Yeah.
Instead, he was just giving it to me. Like,
that is incredible.
Thank you.
And as a details girly, both of us.
Both, yes.
That matters. We are big on the tiny details that maybe other people wouldn't catch up on. But we're like, did you see that? Did you see that one liner that they put right here?
I think it kind of works, too. So it kind of correlates to like with how the books from the special edition there with Fake Rate, like in my emoji brain, like those are the things that I'm pulling out when I'm trying to do my emoji post, like those details. And then I'm like, you know, my brain picks out those details and it makes sense for me, but like someone else is gonna be like, what the hell are you trying to say here with these?
Are these your first special editions or just like your biggest batch of them?
They're my second special editions for this series, and then I have one more for this series to come, and then I'm doing my own special editions for the Twisted Vowel series.
Yeah.
Which I will never do again because shipping is way too hard for me.
Oh, yes. Has everything been chaotic with the whole Canadian post strike?
Yeah, that was really hard. And I ended up just having to, one of my special editions didn't make it to Australia. So I had to pay, like, so I ended up shipping it through, like, Canada Post with a tracker, and it was $74.
My Lord. That is crazy.
I'm like, I can never ship with a tracking number overseas like that. That's just insane, right? Yeah. Like, so
no one would blame you for that.
No.
But then they go missing.
Yeah. Because like, they're like, oh, no tracking. So who's to blame?
So is this the one you're doing yourself? Is this you?
Yeah. So I made those, I guess. Yeah.
Okay.
Like, beautiful.
Them. Like, I like designed them. And
It
is beautiful. For those watching, this is Attempting Arrangement, book one in the Twisted Vow series without the dust jacket.
Stunning.
With Damon and Misty on the front. It's beautiful.
We'll do the rest of that series in special editions, but I think I'm going to work with Books for Day's Crate.
Okay.
Who's doing another special edition to ship those all over for me.
Good. So it's less stress on you for it.
Also, I'm like worried that suddenly we'll have like 20% tariffs and you're going to have like to pay 20% or
to get your book mail.
Get it. And I'm like, well, that's not going to go.
Yeah. Are they located in the States to at least maybe help with that? Yeah. That's good.
Oh, that's a good
thing. That will be good.
Yeah.
So let's take it back. Let's backtrack a little bit. Like, have you always been a reader? Have you always enjoyed reading? What did you read growing up? Like, what kind of brought you just to the reading world in general? Or did you jump right in with romance?
I wasn't a big reader as a kid, but I think it's because the only thing I enjoy reading is romance. So it took all the way until I got to an age that I could start seeing romance in books.
Yeah.
And then I started to like reading. I was definitely in grade school when I found one like that. And it was like, not even YA, it was like a hint of romance.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was like, how do I get, and then I just kept looking for more. Also, I went to French schools and spoke French like when I was younger. So all the books I read were in French. And I don't read French now. So I can't even like be
the
like,
the only thing that comes to mind is that little Madeline. the book. Yeah, Madeline
is the only thing that pops in my head too.
Apparently there are French semi-romance books in grade school here in Canada.
Oh.
Nice.
But yeah, so always read romance. Like I've read fantasy that doesn't have romance, but I don't enjoy it as much. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Did you start with like, quote unquote, like the classics? Like, did you do like Hunger Games, Twilight, stuff like that? Or was it like just random one-off books?
That stuff was not out yet. So like, I'm 39. I don't know when that stuff.
I can't honestly. I know.
I think Twilight came out in like 2021 or something around there. So that means all of that stuff came out around there.
I can't remember. I know 20 years. It's been 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So like 2001, I'm really bad at time.
I'm terrible.
And math. Why are you guys doing
Twilight,
this to me?
Twilight, so I don't know.
I just didn't know if you had.
I said 2021, but I mean 2001.
Yeah. Have you ever gone back and read things like that, or have you always just kind of stuck to current?
Like, what I started reading was like historical romance.
Oh yes, love it.
And then I read that. It wasn't as much of a genre that it is now when I started reading, right? Like so back then it was like historical with the guy with a like no shirt on the cover, and you'd rip the front of the cover off.
The bodice ripper covers. I love bodice ripper covers.
So I went back to go read a series, I want to say by Joanna Lindsay. I'm not sure, but I went back to go read it and I was like, dark romance has nothing on this. Like, I was like, there was non-consent. I was like, the whole thing, I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You're like, there's just something about it.
I didn't mind. I was just like, you know, we're talking about dark romance now, but I'm like, man, a ton of this stuff happened in this book.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I was deep into Scottish Highland historical romances for a while.
Yeah, and it's like stealing them.
Yes.
Yep.
Like true kidnapping, not just joking about it or like it's a cool, like morally gray. No, this is like full-blown kidnapping.
That's why I always giggle when people are like, I mean, it could just not be your thing, but when people like just completely write off historical, I'm like, did you guys like never read or watch anything? The Princess Bride, none of it? I'm like, these are where the trope started here, folks. They started way back when with all of that.
I think if anybody wrote first person historical, I think people would start reading it again.
I agree.
Yeah. All third person, and a lot of people won't read third.
I agree.
I didn't have a problem. I just read The Dark Verse by Runix. A lot of people have a hard time with that one because it's third person, and I'm like, but this is where the historical romance helped me out, because it's like it was an adjustment for me to come to contemporary romance and do first person. Like, I do enjoy it more. I kind of admit that now, but like it was a change and an adjustment. But like I can do both now. It doesn't really truly matter to me. I enjoy them both.
I feel like I was the opposite, but also I wasn't, because like the things that I grew up on, they were kind of third person, but it didn't seem, maybe I was just getting more into them because it was like those fantasy style books. Like I was all involved in like the Death Game plots of it all. But then once I like started reading in 2020, it's pretty much been a lot of like first person. Like when I went back to do that historical series, Britt, for you.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is different. I was like, I remember now. This is different because I hadn't read in a while. But I feel like a lot of Nora Roberts books that like I read that I would steal from my mom's side table and bookshelf were third. I think they were.
Throne of Glass is third.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
First, right? Like, and then she flipped back.
Well, she flipped it because Frost and Starlight, you start to get third with the first, and then all of Silver Flame is third. So,
yeah.
She definitely prefers third.
With fantasy, though, that makes so much sense to my brain. Like, and I think that's why I never really thought it was a problem when I was reading like Hunger Games, Twilight, stuff like that coming out. And I was just like, well, that's just it. But then it is weird to me, though, when I read contemporary every once in a while, that's third. And I'm like, where is the person's name on the chapter? That's what I'm always telling myself, like flipping to the new chapter. And I'm like, there's no name. There's nobody's name on it. It's everyone's chapter.
It's just a number. What is happening?
So how did you find romance then, like the more adult, like traditional, like romance, or like how did you figure out you wanted to go into dark romance reading? Did you start reading those first before you wrote them, or how did that journey work for you?
So, like, I came through the, like, Twilight, Hunger Games, that pipeline or whatever.
But yeah, like 50 Shades, all of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I didn't know it at the time, but somehow I found indie authors.
Oh, okay.
And, like, I would find their books, and I wouldn't know that they were indie because I didn't know that that was, like, a thing at the time. But I would like their books more. So I started to, like, look at books that were like their books. And then eventually I realized that I had been reading all indie authors. And I can't even remember all these books' names. I think, like, indie is almost, or, like, self-published authors is almost its own genre now.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Like, you'll see their, like, paperbacks are being picked up trad, but, like, mm-hmm. it does have its own vibe. And so, like,
absolutely.
I don't know how I like, found one book and kind of got scooped under. And
were you finding them, like, with physical copies, or was this later more into, like, a Kindle journey, or?
Eventually, I went, like, broke. I kept reading if I wouldn't have found and figured out I could read it on my phone.
Yes.
I was, like, purely iBooks for a long time.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I don't know how I even figured out, like, so Kindle Unlimited is definitely how I got brought over, but I don't know how I found Kindle Unlimited.
Yeah.
Right? It's also something that every once in a while I'll see posts, and it's almost like somebody judging a reader for, like, not having the right etiquette for, like, a review or something. But I'm like, they probably have no idea what that means, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We know because we're entrenched in this, and so we know all of the little things. But I'm like, that person doesn't know.
No way.
I had no idea.
Like, as I think back to when I started, like, in 2020, that's how I started with By Keeland. I just downloaded Audible because I was like, audiobooks, like, I don't want to read with my eyes. I'm a huge audiobook person. Well, I read, like, with my eyeballs still, but I would say 90% is audio. But I had no idea. I didn't know what a review was. I remember at the end it was like, would you like to leave a review? And I was like, review what? What
am I getting rated? Is this a book report?
I was like, what do you mean review? And then I didn't even come to Bookstagram until not that long ago, right? Like, they think this is, like, 2 years. So, like, I feel like you all start somewhere.
Yeah.
So it's definitely, it takes time to learn and adjust and kind of learn all of the, like, unwritten, unspoken rules. But, like, apparently they're all there.
I see it a lot with dark romance books. And I don't read my reviews, so I don't know if this ever happens to me. But
good for you.
I'll see some.
Smart.
I used to, and then, like, and it was not good.
I'm like, not good for your mental health, Jessa. That is not good.
But, like, you'll see posts, and it'll be like, well, like, your review was negative, but it was in the trigger warnings. Like, Jess, pre-being an author, didn't know trigger warnings existed.
Yes.
Even that only became a thing when I, like, started writing. And I'm very, to be clear, I'm very pro-trigger warning. But, like, as a reader, unless that's the first thing my page is opening up to.
Yes.
So maybe that person accidentally stumbled into.
That's what our friend who was just on said. She was like, she loves dark romance and, like, taboo, but she didn't learn until, like, a year into reading that's like, she would click, like, go to chapter one on her Kindle.
Yeah.
She had no idea that there were things besides, like, the acknowledgement
and the copyright. I think when you don't even choose to go to chapter one, it just
opens
it there, and unless you're going back to try and get that author all those extra pennies that they get for every page, you know, which is important to do. But
I don't
think, like, it sometimes jumps in and gyps you out of those, and
audio,
you miss those things.
There's
audio jumps it right away. Yeah,
they just jump right in. I think it is, honestly, because I would say I do 90% of my reading on audio, and I would say within the last year, like, 2024 was the first year I was actively hearing trigger warnings, like, in the audio. But before, I was reading all these, listening to all these mafia books that had all kinds of stuff in it, but it just went chapter one, like, there was, like, and I was just like, oh well, there's nothing. How is anyone supposed to know if they don't know?
So I see that kind of post all the time, and I never comment, but I'm always thinking, I'm like, that poor person probably doesn't even know what to do.
They're probably like, I was just reading and then I felt uncomfy at a part, and so I made note in case someone else gets uncomfy with that. Do you think you were reading a lot more of the dark, which is what led you to want to kind of go down that avenue, or, like, how did you kind of decide, like, hey, I'm reading all this stuff? Were you just not, like, finding what you wanted? Or how did, like, book number one come to be?
Of this latest series? I don't...
No, your first book ever. Like, how are you? How are you? Like, hey, I think I'm going to write a book.
That's a great question. I had to like gaslight myself into writing a book where I was like, nobody's going to read a single page, right? And then I wrote the first chapter, or I think I wrote like 5 chapters. And then I was like, hey, I asked my sister Terry, I'm like, can you read these? And then she read them. And then she's like, no, they're good, right? So then I was like, okay, well, nobody's going to read the book. And only she can read a chapter. And, like, I just literally gaslit myself this whole time until I had a whole book. And then I was like, oh, I wrote a book that only me and my sister have written. And, like, she had to, like, keep asking me for the chapter so that I would keep writing. Because I would just stop. It took, like, almost, like, 2 years, just shy of 2 years to write that first book.
So she was just, like, gentle bullying you. That's what I like to call it.
Yeah, my older sister, right?
And I love to gentle bully. I love to gentle bully authors. Like, hey, you wrote a character on page one. Don't make me bully you into writing him a book.
So, like, I basically, though, lied to myself that nobody would read it. And that's how I wrote it, right? Like, I literally had to just be like, you're not writing this for anybody. Nobody will ever read it. And I was gonna shit. My husband will tell you that, like, 10 years prior to releasing my first book, I was writing a book and I never finished it. Like, I just kind of plotted it out. And he has been hounding me since then to write this book. And now he's like, see?
You are not the first author to come on here and tell us that their husband was the one to be like, just do it, just write it. How did book one go? Did you did it come off well? Did you better than you expected, at least? Like, or what, like, made you like, okay, I'm going to write book two and keep going?
So this is, like, very telling of myself, though, but, like, I wrote book one, I had it edited, I, like, had arcs and everything, but after I finished writing book one, I realized, even when it was done, that I could do better immediately. So that thing released, and I didn't even pay attention to the release. I didn't look at it at all. I didn't celebrate the first book's release.
Jessa!
Because I was
celebrate everything! You wrote a fucking book!
Are we about to have to throw you a party 10 years later?
Yeah!
So I was writing red-handed already, and I, like, could already, which is my co-write with Kate King. And I could already tell. I was like, this book is, like, amazing. This is good. This is going to be... So it's like I knew what it was going to be, but I pulled my first release down. Okay. I took 4 months to re-release it, and then that is now rule number 5. And I re-released it, and it, like, was huge.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I'd say that was the big one that took off on Bookstagram.
And that so much around it, like, at 70%, I had, like, finished writing 70%. It was, like, not the editing. Like, this is the first time I ever wrote a book, and it was in a shared Dropbox, and my husband was on my other computer, and he deleted it. So I'm on my computer upstairs writing, and it goes, file, gone. And it was
heart palpitations, like, instantly. Oh, my God.
I'm sweating.
For, like, 3 weeks, I had to go back and forth with Dropbox, because I was like, the whole point of Dropbox is that, like, you have it saved and have it saved, but he somehow deleted it all.
Like, the encrypted permanent copy? Oh, yeah. Yes. Leave it to a husband to accidentally just freaking wipe it off the face of the earth.
And, like, I had a hard time talking to him.
I don't blame you.
The day before my birthday, like, it was a whole thing.
Oh, I would have been pissed, girl. Yeah, I would have been absolutely livid, honestly. I would still hold that randomly. Be like, remember when you deleted my book?
Well, and, like, he heard me scream. So, like, I'm upstairs, he's downstairs, and he heard me be like, ah! I knew it was him because I hear him running up the stairs. So I'm like, oh my God, you did this, right? And he's like, I'm sorry. And I couldn't even talk. Like, he wanted me to do that thing where you're like, it's okay. And I could not.
It's not okay, bro.
It's not okay right now.
I would start broing my husband. Like, it is not okay, bro. What are you even talking about right now?
I was in, like, I need to fix this mode, and you're just, like, in the way.
Anyway. You are. And you're the problem. I'm staring right at the problem.
And I knew he couldn't fix it. And so I was like, I gotta figure this out. And it took weeks, but they gave it back to me all out of order.
Oh, perfect.
But I was able to piece that back together.
Yeah.
It's probably why I was so done with it by the time I published it that first time. I was like, this book tried to kill me on multiple occasions.
This book is trying to take me out. But the second time around, you saw great success.
Yes, on that book, like what its re-release. Yeah, I was really lucky because I was able to catch the like hockey trend wave, which was nice. Like, I'm very ingrained in hockey, so it worked well for me.
But me too. I know I'm not Canadian, but we are huge, like real life hockey plans. My husband is editing our podcast while we watch Team USA right now. Like, we are big hockey people, but I know, like, it's your whole life, right? A big part of your life.
Well, yeah, like my son plays competitive hockey, and then I have three billets, which are three like 19 to 20 year old hockey players that live with me. So like,
yes,
hockey. So it was easy to, because I flipped that book from a rock star to hockey. It was really easy for me to do that.
I don't think I ever knew that. That's crazy, Jessa.
We're getting a little secret like, inside scoop.
The edit from, like, it is the same book. And all of the, like, bigger lines are all from the original book. But it still took 4 months to edit it, which is the same time that you write a book.
Yeah.
So,
I think I caught you on the hockey wave, like with Kindle, and it just, the algorithm was working, and that's how I found Jackson Sydney, and the rest they say is history. So
yeah,
it is funny too to see the different waves of the different trends. Like, not that something ever completely goes away. I mean, I'm always putting another hockey book like on my TBR because I love hockey, but it is just interesting, like, because we were so in hot, like, we were really high in the hockey. We still are. I know everybody loves hockey, but there's also like this new cowboy wave coming in. And like, some authors have released cowboy hockey players. And I'm just like, I love it. I love to see all the way that it works.
Yeah. I don't even know. Like, so I was going to do you know the show Yellowstone?
Yes.
So,
like,
when I first
it's
started
traumatizing for me.
Watched the first 30 seconds and was like, I'm done. I can't do it.
Can I just tell you a quick little side story? My mother-in-law, who knows that I genuinely am one of the most anxiety, emotional, empathic people you'll ever meet. I just cry. Like, I can't help it. I feel everything. And my mother-in-law who knows this, right? We've been married. We've been together 10 years. Like, what are you? Almost 10 years. And she goes, you should watch Yellowstone. You're going to love it. You love cowboy romances. And I was like, sold. Like, if my mother-in-law is going to go out of her way to tell me something, I'm going to do it. I turn it on. And in the first 45 seconds, fucking Kevin Costner ruined my whole life because he murdered a horse. And I turned that shit off and I've never turned it on again. I bawled my eyes out. I texted Brittany and I was like, never watch that. Literally never turn it on. Never watch it. I was crying hysterically, wasn't I, Brittany?
Yes, I was
so upset. No, only because they killed a horse, but it was Kevin Costner. My whole perspective of him changed.
I don't even remember this.
I am traumatized, Jessa.
Did he kill the horse? Was it like euthanization?
Hit it in a car. The horse is dying. There's blood everywhere. It's the first scene.
In, like, the middle of the highway or something.
It is the first 45 seconds of that show. I was hysterical. Not even pregnant. I lost my mind. And I was texting Brittany because I needed help. I was thought I was going to have to be put down myself.
My to be watched, but I don't watch TV anymore. And
hell no.
Now I'm like, I don't know, but like, I think I'll be okay.
It won't be okay. Anyway, sorry. We know what you're talking about, but I am distraught by the first 45 seconds of that TV show. It's all I got through.
I don't think it's the only horse to die, so I wouldn't.
Kevin ruined it for me.
Oh, but Kevin still looks good in his 70 years.
That is a story screenplay device, and that's why that was there. Like, when you have a character have to, like, put an animal down is a way of showing them make a choice, and like, it tells you something about a character. So you just got like hooped in by that screen.
It's the first thing you see, and I was like, this is really weird. Like, this is not about cowboys. This man's a murderer. Anyway, so did you get inspo from the characters, or?
I had watched that, really thoroughly enjoyed it because it's like cowboys, but it's it has way more plot, right?
Yes.
And it's definitely darker. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do that. And that's what I was going to do next. But now I'm not sure. Even though Cowboy is really popular, it turns out the only thing I've ever liked that was Cowboy was that show. So
There's nothing wrong. This is just kind of random, but do authors ever kind of talk about behind the scenes the trends before everyone else, like the readers, see them? Like, do you guys kind of get an idea of what's coming and that, like, or do you kind of have to find out with us?
So there are different authors that are like completely different styles. So I am much more business oriented, so I will watch for the trend.
Yeah.
Right? And so I can normally spot a trend before it's like really swooping.
Yeah.
But I have other friends, like my really good friend Emily Rath, will not write to a trend.
She
wrote hockey and it was trending, but that's not why she wrote hockey.
Yeah,
right?
She like, just wanted the story to be hockey.
She had a historical romance, mm-hmm. and then she wrote an Omegaverse, but she wrote an Omegaverse in third person. But like,
and it was
she
MM. Wasn't like,
it was yeah. MM and in third person.
Yep.
And so it was like, she wrote it because she wanted to.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it had nothing based on, like, is there a large market for this?
Yeah.
It's funny because, like, Omegaverse is actually, like, traditionally MM. Like, it's only in novels that it's not.
That's
like,
what I have been learning.
Really?
And, like, because the original ones, they're all MM. All of them.
Because I know a lot of them in novel land is like, why choose? So they can bring in the female element. But I've only read one, and it was Lana Ferguson, and hers was MF. And that was my first one. But she did a great job introducing, like, what Omegaverse was. I had no idea. Yeah. I was like, what's a knot? I was like, someone draw me a picture of what is going on with this knot right now.
Jessica can draw very good stick figures, so she can help you out.
Love your stick figure drawings. I think that you should take your stick figure drawings and turn them into special editions, because I'd buy them all.
I made them into stickers.
Oh, into stickers? Yes, that's how I know about one of them. So how did you feel like when you were coming up with the newest series? Like, so this will come out right around just after your newest release.
Yeah.
But how did like book one come to be? Are you a planner of the whole time? Like, this is going to be each book? Or how did that kind of develop?
Like, right now, I don't know how to write book four because I don't know what's happening. The only book that I really knew what was happening for was this book, like, the book that's about to come out, because I get these, like, favorite characters in my head. So, like, for the Rule Breaker series, I really wanted to write Alex, Mia, and River's story. And, like, so the whole time I was writing all the other books, I was thinking about them. And that kind of happened with this series. But for the first book, what I really knew was that I needed something that had some kind of external plot, because the Rule Breaker series doesn't have external plot, and it was hard.
Yeah.
Because I was like, how do I keep this interesting? Some authors do a really, really good job of keeping stuff that has no external plot, like, going. But because I don't like third act breakups, it's, like, really hard to do that.
You wound me.
I love you for it. So much.
Rule Number 5
has a wicked third act breakup, so it's not
fantastic.
Like, nice.
Absolutely perfect. Love a third act breakup. Love it. I pry them out of
it
my cold
sense.
Dead hands.
I don't love them. I'll be the first to admit it, but it made sense. We were just talking about this earlier today. It made sense for Jax and Sydney to have that third act breakup because she was pursuing her dreams and she wasn't going to not
I
do
love
that.
It.
And so
I also, that's why Britt and I are a good pair, because everything she really doesn't like, I'm like, you just send that right on over here to me. So what do you want to, like, can we talk about book three, the newest release? Like, can we start doing some deep dives since we'll just have come out? And we will mark spoiler for anyone that does not want to hear anything. So this is your spoiler warning if you don't want anything. Some people really enjoy the spoilers and they'll be like, I'm going to listen to that spoiler section and then I'm going to go read the book. And I'm like, you know what? You do it. So tell us about it. So this one was your favorite so far.
It
favorite
was probably
couple?
The funnest to write. Yeah, I don't know if it's my favorite, but it was fun to write because, like, the overall, like, even though it's still technically dark romance, the overall theme is just way more, like, playful than the other two.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a almost like a heist kind of book.
Okay.
Where, like, she's pretending to be her brother, but really, like, Bash, the main character, his whole personality is, like, mischievous younger brother, I can get away with anything I want.
Yep, I'm the baby, like, of the family, I'm gonna get away with the murder.
Exactly, I was like, that is his whole, like, vibe, is, like, just get away with anything. And so he was a really fun character to write, and then it's his character that drove, like, the whole plot. Like, even though she's the one that, like, does all the things, it was him that, like, his character that was, like, okay, inspired me to give her such, like, a fun, like, time. Like, she's, like, trying to steal some kind of, like, tiara, and he is, like, helping her in his own weird, overly possessive,
manipulative way. I gotta ask, we're speaking of a devious arrangement for everyone listening, yes. But how do we say the FMC's name? Is it Anastasia or is it Anastasia?
It could be either.
How it's do just you not say
Stacey.
It?
Oh, I say Anastasia.
Okay. I told you.
I know, but then you had her shortened, like, nickname that Bash called her as Stasia, and that to me is Stasia. But are you saying that's
fine? So, like, Stasia? It used to be Stasie, which to me is Stasi, but, like, Stasi was Stacy, and then I changed it because I was like, I'm not doing, like, I was,
she's
like,
not Stacy, she's not, yeah.
Stacy. And I was like, but S, like, when I'm like, when there's one S, it makes the Z sound.
And you Canadians, didn't want to do the two S's? No, because I know in your Facebook group you were asking, and a lot of people were like, just do two S's.
Yeah, but two S's would have made the Stacy sound. That's, like, I was like, if you have two S's make the S sound. One S makes the Z sound. So, or Z, whatever you guys want to call it. So that's why I can't do two S's.
Whoop! I'm like, that's why I love audio, folks. And when people don't know the names, I'm like, I did it in audio, so I just know what they want from me.
So if there's only one S, it's like the Z sound, right? So it's like Stasi. Versus if there was two, it's Stacy.
Okay, learn something every day, folks.
Or if it was a C, it would be Stacy. Anyway, yeah. That's what happened there. Like, that's how it became Stasia or Stace, like, however you want to say it. This is right up there with Matthias. I was like,
yes. Everyone was like, is it a hard TH sound? Is it soft? And then I just listened to Onyx Storm. I won't say any spoilers because I don't think you've read it yet, Jessa. But, like, there is a character with the last name, but they say it is Matthias, even though it's IAS. And so then I'm like, is it Matthias or Matthias? Which one? And so now I'm just like,
we're all just running around with our heads cut off. Like, we have no idea what the word is, but we know it's good. We know that it's really good and the name is great.
Well, I'm like, for me, I'm the worst because, like, when I'm reading, I don't even remember the names, right? Like, ever. Like, it's not, I don't keep characters' names in my head while I'm reading. I'm just like, this is the person I know I am at this moment. So, like, yeah, I'm like, I don't really care how people pronounce it.
I feel
it
would
be different if I had used, like, a different language and, like, built it off of that. But I didn't. So,
I
Pinterest names and found, like, names I liked. So, like,
you're like, baby girl names trending. Yeah. You just go back to your roots.
It's the perfect name for a Russian female to have.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I guess, like, if you think about it, like, it would be however you would say, what is the princess's name? What's her last name? The Russian princess? Anastasia.
I'm like, you're definitely asking the wrong girl now.
I think it's Anastasia. I think that's
when when Britt was talking to me, when she didn't know which one it was, I was honestly, and this is in the best way, I was thinking of 50 Shades of Grey. And I'm like, well, she goes by Anna, but her name is Anastasia. So I was like, it's probably just that. I don't know. I was just like, in my brain, if it looks like that, it has to be that.
Yeah, so what I learned, I made a post in my Facebook group, and what I learned is that every single person says that Anastasia or Anastasia, they all say it differently.
Yeah.
So I was like, there's no right or wrong, well, I think it is Russian, so I'm sure, like, there is a right answer, but none of us are saying it like the Russians do. So. Yeah.
And it doesn't, like, bother you as an author if someone... No. For some reason said it one way or the other, you don't that's good. Well, I feel like sometimes it could be probably with, like you said, if it was playing into exactly, like, well, I built it exactly off of this with this, so it needs to be said this way. But it's also nice to just know there's, like, a little bit of,
you know, reading subjective and how you pronounce it can also be subjective.
I'm like, we're all from different parts of the world. I don't know, I feel like Ohio's the only people that don't have an accent, that's what, like, and so that's where I'm like, I don't know what you guys want from me. I talk the most normal English. Even Brit says words sometimes, and I'm like, okay, weird Canadian spinoff.
I do get, people ask me sometimes, are you Canadian? And I was like, nope. Minnesota? It's random. Nope.
It's random words with you, and I'm like, what are you doing?
I always pretend like I don't have an accent, and then I'll have people be like, oh yeah, you have an accent. I'm like,
you do.
You do.
Yep.
It's beautiful, it and is. I do love it, but without that. A doubt, you do.
Without a doubt.
I'm like, I feel like we've had a lot of guests that have come on, or like Elliot being in New Zealand, she'll be like, you have an exactly what I thought, like a basic, like American accent would be. I would be like, we don't have an accent. So you needed to say, you just speak English. This is what you thought English would sound like.
Can we talk about how great this current series is? And it's not, I feel it weird saying that it has a great found family aspect because they're literal family. But it's like that actual family with the found family just merged together, and like the way they all just are like ride or dies, and like instantly like, that's my sister, you better treat her right, don't fucking mess this up or I'm coming after you. I'm just like, I love them, and I just love them so much.
As an author, I got to have fun with the like how the brothers reacted, because I was like, these guys are doing some insane stuff.
Yeah.
And so I was able to have that, like, my internal dialogue like back through the guys being like, what are you doing, like, they'll tease the guys, and that was kind of like how I thoroughly enjoyed being able to do that, like almost like meta, like role reversal back of being able to have the character make fun of the other character for doing something that I am making them do.
Do you feel like you enjoy writing your female main characters more or your male main characters more? Or does it just depend?
I definitely like writing the guys more, for sure. I think that, like, yeah, I easily like writing the guys more. It took me a long time to figure out how to, like, make the girls more likable. Like, our readership are women. Women are really hard on women. Like,
oh,
I will self-admit that I am very hard.
I was going to say, Brit for sure, females, but I am a female apologist. Yeah. A lot of women to me do no wrong, but like Brit is my counterpart, where she's like, oh no, let me break it down. I'll be like, she, well, the guy just did 100,
and I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
And I'm like, okay, well, you got to take a step back, because the guy just did also 100 things, and you're being like, well, it's fine because he's hot. That's where you're gonna get definite,
this is what I'm talking about,
you're gonna get contrast with me and Brit, because I stick up for the ladies way more than I do the men.
Well, and I had that problem with rule number 5. It's also one of the reasons I don't like third act or writing third act breakups is, and we were talking about this earlier, like, mm-hmm. her whole arc is how she wants to go like work in Canadian Parliament, and he moves to Boston, and she's like, I'm not moving to Boston with you,
peace,
and
bro.
I was like, and I'm like, a good 50% of the readers wanted her to quit her lifelong dream and move to Boston.
That would have pissed me right the fuck off, I can tell you that. You would have, I would have been raging, like, oh hell no, we don't just give up our dreams, girl, hell no.
He fixes it in the end, but that's what the third act breakup is, right? And so she never gives
good up. For her, good for you, exactly. Good for her. You're getting 10 points from Father Lib.
The messages I was getting, like the DMs I was getting about like how, like, he was such a good guy, how dare she leave him. I was like,
if it was real life, all the, and that's where people, I know, they're like, I don't want real life. I love to be able to relate to things in real life. And if my best friend told me she was going to quit all her dreams to go to Boston, I'd be like, you are fucking stupid. And we're about to have a heart to heart, real life talk, girl.
Especially because the whole reason she doesn't date in the beginning is because she doesn't want it to wreck her chances of working.
You are, yes. Like, you're right into my soul, Jessa, to my actual core being right now.
So now, like, people are mean to women. Like, they really hated her.
They hate
women. And I was like, she's, like, smart.
And I did not hate Sydney. I enjoyed that one. I understood it. Like, there are exceptions, you guys.
There's way more exceptions on my end.
For sure, but I
because there them. Are people, like, random, but, like, I know you're a Throne of Glass fan. The amount of hate Brittany will try to tell me about Aelin, and I'm like, you're literally not understanding a single thing about this book. Like, I am going to actually die on this hill.
This is where defending we're equal opportunists, and we are going to judge her and him.
Hell no, we ain't judging her. Hell no. And that's where I'm like,
no, like, I am like an alien lover.
Oh, yeah. See, like, Jessa and I are going to team up on you. I can promise you that right now, Brit.
That's fine. I'm over here on my island by myself, me She's and Kale like, will be just my, fine over here.
Oh, God. Don't even get me started. Literally, I will never get off the topic because I'm going to, if I could murder one person, him, immediately push him off a cliff in his wheelchair.
I love him so much.
Who?
Kale.
Oh.
Get out of here. But it is a good series that a lot of...
I actually don't mind him later. Like, I think he's fine later, but...
You know, like... Do you know how sometimes characters...
He apologized. He made course corrections.
I'm fine with him after, but I wouldn't have wanted them to end up together.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Oh, yeah. I'm fine with them not being together.
I do think, for some reason, it's not all the time. There are definitely times where I come around on the guy. Like, because I am a total, like... feminist for the girls in the books. Like, I'm like, that girl does nothing wrong. Like, whatever. Stand your ground. But every once in a while, with me, a character gets so under my skin that it doesn't matter what you do. You could save the world and you are not getting redemption. And for some reason, it has to be him and for Britt and I to be best friends. Yes, and for Britt and I to be best friends and her be like, I love him. I'm like, girl, we're about
you
to fight.
Love him?
I love him.
That's a lot.
Right.
Yep. Kale.
I'm hoping like, on my.
I still say Eurene. I don't say Irene. Kale and Eurene are my top couple.
Don't get
next
me wrong.
To Lorcan and Elodie. So
I love Irene, but I would be just fine if she went off and just lived her life in the sands without him.
No,
gone.
Lord and Lady Westfall are meant to be together. Okay.
Thank God he's not immortal.
I read this series like
he's gonna die one day.
I don't hate him like that, but I didn't, his arc, like I never once thought he was right and Aelin was wrong.
Exactly. Like, Thank you very much. That makes me feel very good. Sometimes when you have friends that are, they don't agree. And I'm like, you're all wrong. You're all wrong, all of you.
It's subjective. Reading is subjective.
The opposite thing can happen. I can really like a guy and I feel like they could set up like expectations on how you expect them to be. And then they'll do something that I'm like, that I almost feel like betrayed by them as well. Mm-hmm. And then there's no recovering from that for me. I'm like,
And I feel like for some reason, I think I planned ahead in my mind, but like, this is how he's going to fix it all. And then it was just it took one sentence for him to send everyone to Skulls Bay. And I was like, I'm going to flip the table over. You're ruining literally everything in one line, in one random book. But then there are men that fuck up so much worse than him. And I fully admit it in like certain books. And I do like come around to them. Like a man that I literally hate until the end is... but I love the book, is Dr. Stanton, Cameron Stanton. But T.L. Swan writes alpha holes. And so you're meant to hate them. It's not like you're supposed to like them. You're supposed to hate them. But then always by the end of her books, I'm like, great, man. Great grovel. But I think it's because I like the groveling. You know what I mean? Do you feel like you have like certain scenes that you like to write more than others? Like, do you like writing the spicy scenes more? Banter, like random side character scenes? Like, do you find yourself like really getting words out at certain points more than others?
It's less like I like to write specific scenes so much as that writing gets easier the deeper I get into writing the book. So like writing chapter one is like the most excruciating thing I have ever done. Almost every single book I've ever written, I have rewritten chapter one because it's never right. I think it's because like I have to get used to the characters, and when you're writing in first person, like you're writing through their thoughts.
Yeah.
So it's like in the beginning, you're just every single phrase is like, well, would they say that? Does that make sense?
You're like still trying to figure them out a little bit.
Yeah, and eventually you just like write them really quickly because you know how they would react or how they would sound.
Do you write chronologically?
Yes, I do.
Oh, so you don't, you never are just like jumping around like this scene will make it. Honestly, 100
if
points
to you. If I were
going
to be an author, I feel like I would have to do that. I would have to write it
so
chronologically.
I have written it. So like my thing with, especially for people who want to write, is like whatever you have to do to write, to finish your first book is what you do. Right.
Yeah.
So I wrote my first book out of order. And like the only problem with writing it out of order is that when you piece it back together, you have to go find the pieces that now overlap.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And like any book that has a big edit in it, you can always find these things that kind of like this actually happened then, or you like you can see that when you're reading a book and you're like, oh wait, she actually just left this can here yesterday or whatever. Like that is actually because the author moved
something around. Yep.
Yeah.
And like, you're just seeing like the traces of like, it's almost impossible to go get those back. So I don't want to write out an order because I'm not very good at finding all those little things to make sure it's lined up. The other thing is like, how do you keep track of the emotional arc?
Yeah. Right?
Like, so this person like feels this way at this moment and like then they feel this way at that moment. If I switch those, they're going to feel like their internal dialogue should be at a different level of how much they like them. Anyway, that's why I don't write an order of order because I don't have the memory to contain the story in my head like that.
Can we go back to the chapter one conversation and talk about how great chapter one is from Attempting Arrangement? But I think you got a lot of shit for it at the same time. But
oh, it's so one, much shit.
But it's honestly, one of my favorite first chapters that I've ever read in my with that whole chapter. Entire life.
I'm like, there's literally nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
I probably hurt the series by doing that. Like, I should have taken that out and I could have the exact same scene just without the girl there, the other girl there, and the whole series would have sold better.
I like, know, that and was I feel guilty because I read that and I fully supported it and was like,
I didn't question it. I'm like, I didn't question anything about it.
I think I said, like, if
it.
You change this, I will disown you. I think might have been my exact words in that Google Doc.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it.
I'm so sorry, but I still stand by it being a fucking badass great opening chapter. I was like,
yes. But it's like a 50-50 shot. So what happened there is that I have a whole bunch of people pick it up that don't get past the first page. I page reads.
Yep.
So it was a mistake. Like an author business mistake for sure. And I do think it like seriously hurt the ability of that book to sell because so many people wouldn't even give it a like nothing happens like past
Yeah.
But it's all your fault, Britt.
I know. I'm so sorry.
And this is, we do agree on a lot of stuff.
Yeah, like I pulled like 100 people and everybody was fine. But like, I didn't know all the time.
Britt and I agree on a lot of stuff at the same exact time. Yeah. That's why I think when we do have differences, that's why they're so intense. It's because it's like we rarely have them. So we just have to really hold on to those for the fun moments. But I had no problem because Britt was like, read this. And I was dead. And I was like, right? I'm like, let's keep it going. What do you mean? But I also feel like I'm the type of person that, like, we were both beta reading something else at one point, and Britt was over in the side comments like, what do you mean about this girl in a ribbon? And I was like, you better keep that girl in the ribbon in there. Like,
that was, like, way beyond the first chapter. I'm like, I can handle it in the first chapter when nothing has happened.
It was fine. But, like, that's where definitely there are people who just are very different. But I think it's also because, like, I don't mind third act breakups and, like, I'm someone that loves the emotional trauma that comes with reading. Like, I want to cry and feel betrayed and, like, go through the journey with the female character. So I feel like I actively search things out like that because I'm like, love it. Yeah.
For sure. And, like, I also like third act breakups. I just find that they're often, like, for that reason, because I'm like, I want to feel, like, my heart squeezed.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. But so often it's like the worst reason ever. Like you'll spend the whole book.
I can fully agree with that. There are some that are done so beautifully though, or like so needed, like so, but then even when the ones like I still will like a book 5 stars, I'll be like, that breakup was a little stupid. Like you could have even communicated a little bit more for me. And I don't like hate on miscommunication because I'm like, that's real life. People are not going to communicate with you all the time because we're humans. But there are definitely those one-offs where I'm like, girl.
Every time it's like they spend the whole, it's like 3/4 of the book getting together and like accepting each other. And then at the 3/4 mark, the guy will be like, I'm not good enough for you. And that's it. That's the whole thing.
Yeah. And you're like,
and then he like ghosts her. And I'm just like, I can't. I'm like,
I can only appreciate.
You're already together. I'm done.
Yes. I appreciate those random ones is when it's in mafia land. And he's like, if I don't leave, like, they're going to kill you. And I'll be like, I understand, sir. Like, I can get behind you, Edward Cullinging her. But besides that, you're right, Jessa.
I like it if somebody's going to kill her or whatever. But like, if it's just like, I'm a bad guy, so you like, I don't deserve you. Even if he's a mafia guy, I don't like that.
We just spent how much time with you?
80,000 words establishing that we like you.
Just told you she loved that you're a bad guy. What are you talking about? And so then I'm
like, yes.
And then I said, it's even worse in small town land, because then it's like, well, tomorrow I'm going to see you at the grocery store. So I don't really know what you want to do about all that.
But you just are better than me, so I'm doing this for you. Fuck off!
Honestly, though, like, I'm doing it for you. I think that's the problem I have. It's yes. Like, I, like, rage at that. Like,
why don't we make that decision together? Why are you making those decisions for me? Like, right. What the hell?
Even sometimes with the mafia, you're like, I know you don't want them to kill me, but, like, what if my love for you is stronger than that fear, sir? Don't take that away from me.
Exactly. Who made you the boss?
Did you have a favorite scene in this book?
I guess like a short scene, but there's a scene between the two brothers that are just talking. It's Bash and Xander. And it was just like, they're just like chirping back and forth. And it was really fun to write. I don't even remember what they're talking about. I just remember being like,
you're just like behind your keyboard giggling like.
And then I really enjoyed writing. I hate epilogues. Okay. I truly hate writing them. Like,
any particular reason? Or like, are you
I don't
just
read them? So it makes it really hard to write them.
You never read them?
Ever. So
why?
Us judging you? What do you mean?
Don't judge, but I am judging.
Me, I'm like, we listen and we do.
People who don't read prologues.
We listen and we listen and we do judge.
Do you read prologues? Are you anti-prologue? Okay.
Yes.
What?
No, I'm
so you're you're anti-confirmed happiness? What the hell, Jessa? No, like,
they should be like together. So like, I don't understand people who don't read prologues as an author, because I'm like, we're putting the prologue there because we want to show you the emotion that's happening. Because if I just tell you about it in like past tense in the story, you're not going to feel that. That's why the prologue exists.
Yeah, but the epilogue is there for like, happy fluffiness. Yeah. What are you talking about? We need that.
Yeah, I don't.
So do you like your own epilogue novella that you wrote for the Rule Breaker series? Because I just did a reread of it last month and it was fucking phenomenal.
So there was a gap in between when I wrote it. So I think what happens is that I feel finished with the series. Like, yeah. Right? Like the book, I will literally tell people the book is done and the epilogue is never written when I say that. Because like to me, this story is completed.
Yeah.
So the act of writing the epilogue, it's completely different. Like it's just hard. I think that if I was writing a book and then I don't publish it for a year, then I would not mind writing the epilogue.
Yeah.
But it's just like having to go right into this part that you lose all that momentum. Like there's a lot of build, like I was trying, there's like a lot of momentum that builds and epilogues are just kind of like.
I love it because it, but I
wrote this one and I loved writing this.
Oh, yay! Yeah. That's fantastic. Do you do your epilogues like close in time to the story, or are you like a 5 year later, 3 year later?
Literally screwed myself over with the Rule Breaker series because I wrote the epilogues on like different times where they overlapped the other books, so they were in the future. Oh man, like there was kids, like timelines. I had to get like other people's help to like map them out for me because I was like, how old is this child? Do they exist yet? What are all these?
I feel like I remember that going on in the Facebook group, and someone made like an Excel spreadsheet.
Yes.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes.
Because I really love an epilogue.
I couldn't. I was like, I'm like paralyzed. So like, I've had people write me and say they really liked that. But I'm like, I will never do that again.
Yeah.
Because not only does it like mess up the other epilogues, it literally locked me into things in the story. Same thing happened to me in this series. It wasn't in the epilogue. It might have been in the epilogue. So decisions I made in book one locked me into things that had for book two, and I was like, I was completely like screwed over by
by yourself.
Like, maybe like a paragraph in book one cost me like 2 months of like banging my head off the desk.
Yep.
Yeah.
And epilogues will do that too.
And see, like, I feel like maybe not in the minority, but I think I like them more when they're further away. But then it totally makes sense though, hearing it from an author's perspective of how that would be harder. But then part of me kind of feels the same as you about epilogues when they're too close.
Yes.
When they're like 3 months later, I'm like, why didn't you just make the last chapter 3 months later? But then like, I can understand why you guys would want them to be closer so that you aren't locked in. But I'm always someone that's like, we're getting 5 years later, I'm just like, oh my gosh, I love seeing what you guys are doing in 5 years.
It's an interconnected standalone problem is what it is. And then the other thing, though, is that I think in Twisted, I did it longer. Like, all of the kids exist, but I don't think any other character is in it. At least not second one, right? So, like, and that makes it easier because at least you don't have to, like, guess what everybody's doing. Because I was having, like, epilogues where all of the characters were there.
Oh, that's gotta be hard.
And I had to, like, I had kids that didn't exist yet in epilogues. I'm like, oh my god.
Do you ever do multiple epilogues? You know how, like, some authors will do, like, one from one point of view, one from the other? Or do you just kind of, like, wrap it in one?
I have done both. And I often do, like, bonus extended epilogues.
Yeah. I do like those. They're always fun for, like, newsletters and stuff, too.
I consider those canon. Like, I did one for Attempting, and I put it into an anthology to raise money for Palestine. And then they gave that back, right? Like, so, like, when you do an anthology, they keep the rights for, like, a specific amount of time. But once that book comes down and they've paid the money out, you get your rights back. So I just tacked that onto the back of
Attempting. Oh, that's nice.
Digital download, but I'm like, technically that's canon, but like, I didn't I was writing the next two books, I wasn't like timelining that.
But also just makes it fun. You can, and like you said, you can tack it on somewhere, or like a newsletter, like sign up for my newsletter and you get a prologue or a bonus epilogue or something, which is always nice to help drive traffic to you guys.
The big time gap between Twisted and Devious. Did you always have that it was going to be like a 5 year gap between those happenings, or like what made you decide that?
Do you have a gap on why I did that? Do you know how old Bash is in Twisted?
Is he only like 20 or 21?
He was 20. So whoever bought the OG paperback has like technically Bash and Xander are like 17 by timeline.
Okay.
But I had everybody aged up. But if you took what I was saying with what happened with them when they were younger and timelined it, the timeline didn't fit for how old they were. Yeah. So then I physically went back and did a late, like a post edit where I fixed all of their ages. Then I had to do that again in Twisted where I had to make sure that they weren't 17 because they were going to be, like, spoiler, I guess, for Twisted arrangement. They're like little kids in the beginning, and like what happens to them, they get kidnapped when they're little kids. And it's 10 years later. So I'm like, then they're still little kids.
Yeah.
They're still teenagers, right?
They're like, we got to have adult consent here, folks.
I think I aged them up to like 18. But like that meant so like my ages for them messed up. So I kind of skirted it by just never saying the ages, right? But in this book, I really needed it to be he was an adult. So I was like, we're gonna have a time skip.
Was it 5 years you jumped up? Right?
Yeah.
It's
5 years, yeah. Well, like, they were pregnant. So I made the kids five, and the eldest kids five. And then that allowed me to bring all of the kids in. And, like, something I wanted to do with this book is I like to represent families in different ways. And then this one, I just wanted to show, like, how Bash was interacting with his, nieces and nephews.
It was so cute.
And they all had to exit. So, I really, like, I don't know why I just thought Bash would be, like, that uncle. Right, so like, I just wanted him to be like surrounded by children.
Yeah, like he's the kid whisperer that he can handle him at 1.5, at 5, and he's got everything he needs at his house for him. I'm like, man, you're such a good guy, Bash. I love you so much.
Right. So I would love to say that was the only reason, but like the real reason was like if we went back and we plotted it out, he's not old enough to be doing what he's supposed to be doing. He wouldn't have been a minor, but it still would have been too young.
Yeah, especially probably because you have it in your brain, like what you want. So you're like, okay.
Well, and he's 25, and I'm like, I still would have liked him older, right? But like, I just kind of like all skewed. So yeah, that's the time jump is the I didn't figure out how to do that.
So did you have a favorite spicy scene? Or do you, or are you someone like, sometimes authors will tell us they literally write it and forget it. Like they're not in, they blush about...
Yeah.
Like, there's spicy scenes. Like, how do you feel about writing spice?
I enjoy writing spice. I find it... The only problem is, like, okay. Like, sometimes I am, like, not in the mood, and then I will be sitting at my chronological order table, and I have to write scene, and I'm just like, I'm literally in the, like, don't touch me phase
of my cycle. Yep. Well, that's why I was wondering, like, do you ever just write, like, insert spicy scene here? Or are you going
to?
Yeah.
I've had to skip it just because I was like, this is going to be the most, like, please don't touch me.
You're like, I am not in the right part of life right now.
But I normally find them to write really fast, and that's always good because, like, yeah. When you're writing, and, like, the more word counts, like, the more, like, adrenaline, like, satisfaction you feel, like, because you're moving, you're progressing. But, like, the faster I write it, the more likely I am to forget that they're not naked yet. So, like, there's
logistics.
You're like, wait, I actually have to have you take your shirt off and your pants, yeah. Sir.
Writing white shoes is the worst because you're like, where did that person go? And then you have to be like, oh, we have to mention them.
And like one time a friend or an author said they were like, I forgot he wore a belt. And then she was like, well, I got to go back in and make sure that belt comes off or is he just like hanging out with the belt on?
I'm like a little bit of a, like a weird thing because I do think that the majority of readers like can do some of this stuff on their own. So like some readers are going to want to be like, if you're like touching their hand, they want you to say, I let go of her hand and I grabbed it. Because I'll get that in beta notes, right? I'll get like, they're still holding hands. And I don't mean like when you accidentally have them like hold hand twice. I'm talking about like now.
They wanted it wrote on page.
Yes. And like that transition, like if you can't be holding hands and then, you know, I don't know, pick something up. But I'm like, you can, you're not seeing your hand let go.
I feel like when I read,
which is different in some, but like in a sex scene, I'm like, if I were to write down every single step, every single hand,
it's too wordy, which then almost makes it awkward because you're like, why is there so much words here that aren't like filthy or like more descriptive, like, of, because I feel like that's what we more want is like to know what the acts are, but not like the innocent like things that are happening in between. And I probably is hard though because like everyone's different. Like when I read, like a full movie plays in my head. I know in my head I'm like watching it, but I know that there are some people that are like nothing's happening up there.
I don't have a movie, and I actually think like what you see like when you read as an author impacts the kind of writing you have. Like, I have to consciously make sure I add description because I don't see anything when I write. So I, get description when I'm reading. So, like, but now I very consciously add it. I'm like, we have no idea what this looks like. They're going to care.
Yeah.
Can I tell you?
Like, those are the type of details I look for. You know what I mean? It's like probably what you're trying to make sure you're adding in. I'm like, oh, that makes it so simple because, like, now I see the braid in her hair or something. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But the other thing is because I don't see those things, like, I can picture it. But, like, when I'm reading, I won't picture it. But what I have when I read is I feel what they're feeling.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so the images, they're mostly blobs. Like, I don't really normally see their face. It's almost like a dream where you know what they look like, but you don't see what they look like.
Yeah.
But I feel what's happening, and I can feel every
time. Maybe that's why I cry so much when I read, is because I'm seeing and feeling, and I'm like, I think I'm literally on the page. I'm like, stressing myself out because I'm in the book.
Yes. You're like, it's me.
I was just going to say, I feel like you've done it now every book in this series, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but you have the MMC comment or tease about there being some peach play, but then we never get the peach play. And I'm like, Jessa, where the fuck is the peach play? We talked about it.
Why aren't what do you have against peaches?
Write the best peach play, so we need to have it.
I was insert told to take it out of
no.
Yeah, I had to. It was a little ridiculous in book two. So I took it out, but it is a bonus.
I understood why you
were like insert peach emoji
out,
here,
but I also feel like it would have been fine if it was left in. But you did it with Misty and Damon, and you did it with Bash and
another sex scene.
Anastasia,
you took another scene out this time. Sex scene. Which one did you take out this book?
I didn't have a peach.
You teased it though.
You teaser.
There's supposed to be one of that.
The foreplay with you in these peach scenes are a little
pulling scenes out. Like that's. Yeah, I was already in the process of pulling.
What makes you want to pull something? Because of something a lot of people are coming to you saying? Or is it just because you're going through and you're feeling like it throws the flow off?
So I have two, like, final beta readers. And then they're always the two that have me remove scene. And in this case, like, spoiler, there's, like, a scene where they have sex in the car. And then they have, like they don't have sex in the tub, but they used to have like, it used to be like one long sex scene.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Now it's like sex in the car, and then it's like cuddles in the tub.
Oh.
But with Twisted, I actually had 3 chapters. I took the whole middle chapter out, and then I took 2 chapters and I put them together. And that was after the whole book was written and everybody had read, like all my beta readers. So like often that happens, like taking out.
You're
and
like, I have final say.
Like I rewrote the entire like beginning of Twisted
because of you.
And then I was like, I couldn't even give her Devious because I was like, no, I cannot rewrite another book. I was like, if she hates it, it's
I still
fine.
Loved it.
Yeah, sometimes you just have to let Britt hate a scene because she gets so picky about her way or no way.
I threw out, I rewrote. Like, I don't know,
but
like
you said that you agreed with it.
Hell no.
She's being a little annoying. She's frustrating me. She's thinking one thing, saying the other thing over and over. We need to change it, Jessa. And then you completely redid it. And that's not what my intention was. I just wanted a little tweaking. And you just went.
Britt's just going to have to learn that there are times where authors are going to say no to her.
She could have said no, but she completely flipped it.
I didn't say no. I got all up in my head. Anyway, I rewrote a book and it took an extra 2 months because
Britt didn't get
to Alpha Read the next book.
And what did we learn, Sister Britt? That our actions have consequences.
Were you happy with the end result,
she wasn't
though?
Wrong. I'm still not sure if it's a prologue. I'm happy with all of the line edits that we talked about, but I'm still not sure if I should have put the like 10 years in the past in the beginning or the back. And I honestly think that that's because some readers will have wanted it in the beginning. And
I would have wanted it.
Yeah.
I probably would have liked it more in the beginning. Not that it takes away anything, but
what
for
happened
me.
Was is that because you have this like bond with them together, right? And this is what happened to Britt. It's like if you know that they're supposed to be together and you feel like they're already together, then this author comes in and says, they can't be together for 10 years. And I don't give you a good enough reason why, then it gets annoying.
That's okay. Second chances come in all shapes and sizes.
Yeah, but it wasn't. It drove her crazy.
You got to just let Britt be sometimes because she gets so nitpicky with stuff. And I'm like, girl, there's not 10 billion people in this world. You cannot always have the final say, Sister Britt.
The prologue in the beginning, I just was a little frustrated in the present of what she was doing versus what she was thinking. And I just wanted them to line up more. That's all.
I'm giggling too hard at this because this is very Brittany coded and honestly that's just the way she is, but that's why I'm giggling is because like we're in a lot of the same beta reads together, and so I look over I don't even have to.
So you're saying I need both of you.
Literally, that's why one of our authors has us both, because I will be reading and I'm not even paying attention to anyone else's comments, but I will hit one line and be like, I'm going to look over and see some comment from Brittany. Like, I'm going to look over. Brittany's definitely going to be bitching about this line. It happens every time. And then there comes the Father Lib, like, all right, I'm about to go to bat for this author because Brittany's over here in the comments saying wrong, and I'm about to have to tell her yes.
So I will say that I knew there was a problem with the beginning of the book. So it's not like I didn't know there was a problem. My edit was much bigger than I expected it to be. I lost like 30,000 words or something.
Yeah, that is a big edit.
It's huge.
Yeah, it was huge. It was painful. My poor husband.
No, but I do think it's good, like, though, genuinely, to see both sides.
I ended up keeping, like, so the prologue is, like, 15,000 words. I kept that. Yeah. I just put it at the back.
Yeah.
And not everybody reads that, but it's not like I, like, threw it out. Like,
no, and I think, I mean, not everyone knows, but a lot of people know, like, we try to make it known. Like, these are why we do a lot of things together. It's because, like, I think sometimes people will be like, well, you guys are best friends. Like, what do you mean you're doing it together? And I'm like, that's because, like, you're going to look over in the side of a comment and there's Brittany and Libby probably being way too real life, like, with our comments back to each other. But I'm just like, that's just the way it goes.
We balance each other well.
But it's also a good, I was going to say, it's also a good show to be like, you can be best friends, different things, have different opinions on moments, and just keep it going. Most of the time, it's always her bitching about something that I'm like, I'm going to bitch right back at you.
You know, with like being an author and being a beta reader, is it's like so important that the beta reader tells you what they really feel.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely.
Like, it's extremely important, because if not, we're always seeing her back. So the thing is, it's like if you, like, if I could have figured out how to fix the problem easily, I would have done that.
Yeah.
Right? And I just couldn't figure out how to do that easily.
That's okay. I think it's good to, like, though, like, obviously being honest for always, like, why beta read if you're just going to have yes men surrounding
the
you?
The cheerleading but comments are good and nice, but you also are there for a purpose.
Yeah. Because we'll, yeah, we'll always hype you up, but it's like,
you know that it's like, it's not like, if I'm like, if you have not made any form of correction, then I know I'm like, okay, well, thank you. Sometimes I do, like, I have one girl who reads, and then all she does is hype.
Yeah.
I know she's, and I was like, yes, thank you. But, like, that is her, she knows. She's like, I'm coming in here
to hype.
Stop writing if I don't hype her up.
Yeah, no, that's good. I think.
But, like, that's not that, like, most beta readers, that's not what you're looking for.
Yeah, because you don't want to be surrounded by yes men. I mean, like, because honestly, very rarely in the beta phase are you going to love all of it. Like,
just look at the beginning of Tempting. I, like, she was like, yes, I love this. And then it was like, everybody.
Not us, though.
No, so. I, like, it's a complete lie to say that everybody hated it. It was divisive.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Which is also good, because that means people will talk about it.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
A conversation to be had. I mean,
man, I would have, like, my comments would be like, people would be like, she had sex with somebody in the first chapter. And, like, it would just, like, bam. And, like, it would be like, this is awful. And then my other comments would be like, this was the best way to start a book. And I'm like,
Yep.
And that's what I
think. Oftentimes, I'm like, get out of my comments.
Yeah, you're like, you need to stop. You need to take this to your own personal DMs. Well, I know you said you're not really sure where book four is going, but do you know any, like, do you know, have any little inkling that you could sprinkle upon us?
I think I'm going to write a completely different book.
Oh, yeah.
So, in between.
No, that's good to hear, though.
I'm not,
like,
more right away, because I can't think of what it's about.
And hey.
I was sending ideas to Brandon, and I was like, the whole time, I was like, it's, it's almost like I have, like, pieces, but, like, I don't have a story. So, yeah. I'm just going to go and stay in front of me.
Do you, and you're just, when you have those pieces, do you wait until you can figure out, like, the chapter one, because you, to lead up to the piece? That's, like, where you no, don't write out of order?
Like, even, I don't even have the chapter one. It's like I don't have, like, well, like, the concept of the book.
Yeah,
like,
okay.
Like, what, yeah. Like, I don't even have an overarching plot for the book, so.
That's okay. There's never any pressure.
Well, normally I would sit there and think about it for 2 months, but I have this other book I want to write, so I'm just going to write.
That's good.
No, that's great.
I think it's like that you did it kind of between Matthias and Bash's book when you did Gifted to His Dad. Wasn't that between those? It was so different, and it was so good.
That cover, just so you know, we talk about that cover a lot because it's beautiful.
I really enjoy it. Like, when she sent me back the art, I was like,
she
nailed it.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. We were just talking about it, because we can never. We're always just like, yep, that's a good one. But all your covers are beautiful. I love all of them.
Well, I appreciate that, because covers are hard. Like, so I don't know how many covers the Role Breaker series has, but too many, to the point that I've started apologizing for how many covers.
sorry for making you have, like, a giant collector's edition of.
I have, like, 4 unused covers for that series.
Really?
Right? Like, it's not, I'm like, I have a whole
3 of them right off the top of my head. I have the men covers. That's because I wanted to have River. So that was my deciding factor of, like, well, books 1 and 2 are going to be the men cover.
Oh,
but
yes. But then I always just think of, like, that beautiful blue, because I think of
the
discreet
covers are beautiful. But then you had a different one.
They're so
that,
pretty.
Like, has, like, the paper and the hockey stick with the color.
Yeah. So I had an original discreet cover, and then I had who my friend Val did, and then I had the one that is now, right? So, like, I just did 2 different styles of discreet covers.
Will you ever, like, randomly drop the other ones, like, as special editions, or do you just, like, hold on to them and maybe you'll shift them around for a different book?
I honestly feel bad that I have done this many, because people are collecting them all, and in one way, like, that's lovely for me, but also I feel bad. Like, I feel like I'm
bad.
Like some, like, money hungry person. No. I'm like, pretty covers.
Yeah.
But So I was like, I'm not doing it. So I had already signed on with Book Crates for Day. I don't know what that one's called. Anyway, so they're coming out, and that book set is really nice. And I had already said I'm not doing any other. But then Fae Crate got a hold of me, and I was like, yep. I can't say no to
you. Were like, Crate. I definitely can't say no. Yeah, absolutely. Don't worry, your fans and everyone that loves and supports you don't think you're money hungry.
Yeah,
they're probably excited because they're like, this is my favorite one, and now I can have it in every version. So that's how I am.
What I decided to do in the future, though, is that I will do dust cover recovers.
Oh, that's fun.
That, and then, I'll just like whenever I'm, because like what happens is I like pretty things, so I collect pretty covers. So I'm like, I could do just dust covers, and then you could choose whatever one you want.
Yeah,
and like, oh, I like this one more. Like now they're not, I'm like now I think they're like go for around $18 a cover. Like that's a lot cheaper than a special edition.
Yeah.
And like if you like that one better, you already had the special edition, it'll still fit your special edition.
That's a great idea, honestly. That's so good. You could even maybe do like art prints of them. I bet you people would still even like that because then they can just like have maybe a print of one too.
Well, like I really like when you see all of the spines line up. And they are all like where it's like one image.
Scene.
So like
when
a series is done, I'm going to do that and have like one image on the back. And that will be through desk covers, not through like having to buy at $50. Yeah,
I love that. Especially because that means that they're going to all be in my same, because I make Brittany. I'm like, I do rainbow. So then I bullied Brittany into doing rainbow. But when authors do their spines, like
yes,
that means they're all together because that's the only way it's going to fit into the rainbow. So I appreciate that very much. Like I like when.
Oh yeah. Cause like in a series, it'll be all over the place.
Yep. So when authors make sure that their spines go together, that means all the colors for the most part are going to be together. And then it makes my brain very happy.
Twisted, those books go together because they match, but then Rule Breakers, they're all separated because they're all a different color.
That's true. Yeah.
That's okay though.
It's fine.
It's okay. We're just letting you know that we do appreciate.
Well, your bookshelf. All right, well,
do you think
this is so fun?
This has been so fun. I absolutely loved it 100%. I'm like, did we get all your burning questions answered?
Yes.
I want to make sure we have everything.
I think we're good, and everyone
you wanted
should read A Devious Arrangement. It's available now. So.
Yes, available now. We will make sure to link that down below. We're going to link Jess's profiles, any like Facebook groups or anything. We will get all of that information linked down below. You guys are probably all already following her.
As you should.
Which is as you should be. which is as you should be. And stay tuned because we have some fun things coming later this week with Jessa because she loves all of you guys. And she blessed us. So I think that's great.
Thank you for making this easy on me since I don't like going on pop. Well, I just like don't like talking. So.
It was great.
No, I think it's great. This was a great episode. I'm like leaving with a big old smile because it's like you are natural. It's just like a FaceTime call. We try to make it as girl chat friendly as we can. Everyone seems to like the laid back.
I leave Brit like 10 minutes worth of voice messages in a row.
I love it.
I love it. Well, until next time, everyone, I am your host, Father Lib.
And I'm your co-host, Sister Britt.
And Jessa is the incredible, amazing author that everyone needs to go run and read or reread. And until next time, we'll see you guys.
Bye, guys.
Peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings.
Bye.